Welcome to From the Classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. I'm Lee Johnson, the host, and with me, Dr. Maynard Kerner, president of Heidelberg Theological Seminary, and Dr. J.P. Mosley, academic dean and professor at HTS. We've been talking about worship. We've been talking about the principles of worship. We've been talking about elements versus circumstances, and we've talked a little bit about the elements. Let's talk a little bit about circumstances now, and I'm just going to read Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." We could go on. A person falls asleep, falls out the window.
Well, I'm ready for you to pronounce the guy's name. I love the way you pronounce the guy's name
in
the Bible.
No,
you've got that confidence.
But the question that we're going to talk about is really in verse 7, yeah. Not so much about the story of his death and resurrection.
Although it's important in the passage.
It's very important in the passage, but that's why I'm not going on. I just want to read this question, JP, about circumstances. What is this telling us? Something about sermon length. We've been talking about commands. We read from Deuteronomy a couple of weeks ago about be careful to obey what we command. What should we take from this about Paul preaching until midnight?
We should be preaching longer. No, I'm just kidding. No. I think it's telling us on the first day of the week he's giving a message. The language there, ready to depart the next day, means that Paul is ready to go. This is his farewell address. So he's saying goodbye. And in this farewell sermon, maybe, I think there was somewhere you guys were saying that that's possibly debatable. But to me, it looks like this is an actual gathering of the body of Christ. They're there, they're fellowshipping, they're breaking bread. Paul's delivering a message, and he goes till midnight. He is very much, it seems like in the passage, wanting to make sure he's covering his bases before he leaves. I don't recommend when we leave a congregation to preach this length of the sermon. I don't think that that's it. In other words, the length of a sermon is part of the circumstantial aspect of it. That there is a scripture read and then preached upon, explained, exposited, that's essential. But whether it's 15, 20, 30, do we want to go any further? 40, 50, midnight, that's circumstantial. I think this is a good passage to pinpoint a circumstance, and if anything, tell us, this is probably not one of those moments we want to do as Paul does. Here's a young man who's pulling himself off in a window, and he falls asleep. I don't think that tells us that the Apostle Paul was boring, but I think we're talking about this is the middle of the night. This is when people are beginning to sleep. And it's essentially the heart of the passage is the resurrection. The circumstance of the passage is Paul's message there. But to use that, I think it's very key to say, hey, look, the length of the sermon, that's circumstantial. So, for example, when we do a ceremony like a wedding or a funeral, we have the opportunity to preach the gospel there. It's probably not best to go on for 50 minutes to an hour. Maybe cut it a little short. Maybe get 15 to 20 minutes at the most. There's an aspect. There's one of the reasons why in my classes I have the discipline of I want you to prepare a full sermon, but in class you're only going to have 15 minutes to deliver your message. Now, I want something that you're going to have prepared, but I want to see if you can reduce it down to a 15-minute message. And I see, and at the end of it, the real test is, do I want to hear more? Because we ought to leave that with the people that I can't wait to come back and hear more from God. Hear more from how this man is explaining this passage. And to me, when we talk about lively preaching, that's what I think is getting at lively preaching is, I could hear that every Sunday. I want to hear more of this.
I think one of the best advices or teachings that I received from a professor about preaching was a professor who said that when you're done, quit. We were talking about circumstances in terms of length of service. You know, certainly there were times, and we can look at that and say, well, it was a time in which people were stronger Christians and capable of listening to hour and a half sermons. But be that as it may, that is not the time we're in today. Secondly, I think the idea of just because a sermon is longer doesn't mean it's better.
Right.
Mm. And my back to my original comment when you're done, quit. If you've covered the passage, and certainly we can always find more to yet deal with in a passage, but if you have delivered the message that is the message for today, then, you know, you've preached a sermon. And the time is not necessarily the element that we are dealing with. It is the circumstances. Now, obviously, Paul's circumstances was extremely unique. One that will never come up in the church again. Paul was an apostle.
Mm.
He was laying the foundation. It was his last opportunity to preach here. And he is laying. So, pastors who are taking a call and are preaching their farewell sermon and want to leave with them everything that didn't get changed yet in that church and go on for hours. I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah.
You are not the apostle Paul. This church is going to get another pastor. And so don't pretend that you are and just preach a sermon. Those are the circumstances. There are a number of course, of other circumstances. There are situations in which even the approach sometimes of weather coming up and you, hey, I got to cut this short. We got to get these people out of
That's
here.
Right. That's right.
That's a circumstance of it.
That's exactly right.
It doesn't mean that we, Paul, of course, could deal with the individual who fell out the window. We can't in that sense. And so we do need to take circumstances into that's happening in the congregation into consideration. So be careful. I think the biggest thing to remember with circumstances is to make them as though they are absolute principles.
Mm.
That happens in churches, maybe not so much with pastors. But churches that are old churches, traditional bound churches, especially maybe they've had a pastor who's been there for 20, 30 years, and another pastor comes along and does something a little bit differently, and they say, oh, this is not the way we do this here. Well, is it a circumstances or is it a principle that needs to be done? We need to be very careful not to turn circumstances into principles.
Like the way your former professor put it, one of mine put it this way. When you're closing out the sermon, when you're going to land the plane, don't crash it.
Well, there is the don't crash it, but there's also the idea don't keep doing takeoffs.
Don't keep them going around and around. Well, to add some more circumstances to the conversation then, I think we have an example in the passage we're looking at, the time of the day. This appears to be in the evening that they were gathering to worship. We don't know all the other extenuating circumstances of why, I believe it's in Troas, why it's that time that they're gathering. But that's also a circumstance. So yes, the length of the service, the length of the sermon, also the time that you're meeting is a part of the circumstance. I know a lot of in, particularly in the area of farming, they'll get together at a certain time so that they can go ahead and have their cows milked and various things like that. That's a part of the circumstance. That may not be the same when you're in a bigger city. All of that is included in there. But I do think weather plays a huge role on that. When you have a situation like I had just recently where, you know, we were singing, we were forced to sing a cappella. We had no accompaniment. And we also had nobody to truly open up the door. I was prepared to deliver the message outside. That's a part of the circumstance. If nobody showed up, well, the individual showed up. It was, you know, 20 minutes late or so. That's great. We get in there. But I also recognize I'm not the Apostle Paul here. They have other things that they've got planned for the day. And so I did cut the service short. It had all of the essential elements, But I said, all right, congregation, we've come to this point where I want to make sure we give the benediction and let's head on home here. And that's a part of those circumstances. And it's in the restaurant business, we're saying, we're having to do this on the fly. And there's some aspects of these circumstances where, I was prepared to do a baptism, but that family now is sick and they're not here. Can't do it now. Right? Or I was prepared to do this. We can't do it now. And I think one of the things in this previous year that we've faced with the pandemic, with COVID-19, was to have to deal with those things in our worship service that were circumstantial. That we were able to say, yes, these aren't essential.
We've been forced to deal with some circumstances this year that we probably never thought we would.
That's right.
True.
I'm reminded of a sermon or a service that I participated in once, preached a sermon in Africa, which was done in someone's garage.
Mm.
And it was packed full. I believe most of the people were standing shoulder to shoulder.
Mm.
And a half a block down the street in the alley, the Salvation Army was holding a service, pounding on a great big bass drum. It was coming through. That kind of had some effect on the circumstances in our service that Sunday morning. So.
But that brings up a good point. The music that we're going to have in Africa is going to be different than the type of music we're going to have here.
Sure.
Even accompaniment is going to be circumstantial. The Psalms include a whole host of musical instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 150 is very key. God tells us to praise Him with those instruments. And so even that, I think it's very clear that we're able to use things like the piano, the organ, the guitar is the other instrument that does this today, the harpsichord used to, that can play melody and harmony at the same time. Those are probably some of the best instruments to use for corporate worship, because that's what you're leading and directing the people with if you're going to use accompaniment, because you're going to want them to understand the melody and the rhythm and the harmony all at the same time as you're playing. And it's very important to think about that.
We can talk at length, and I think that's another podcast.
No, I think
we can talk at length about instruments in worship. But the circumstance aspect of it that we need to be careful about is where we put a principle on a certain instrument.
Hmm.
I'm the old man in the room here, and back in the 60s when I was young, and guitars were kind of the instrument of the hippie movement and so on. And then to have a guitar used in church was considered terrible. Well, that's a circumstance where we've taken a certain instrument and said, this is not usable, or this is the only instrument that must... So we've taken a circumstance mm-hmm. and made it a principle.
Well,
and I think that's wrong.
Did not some of the reformers say that about the organ? Not to have it?
The organ, wasn't that the instrument in the beer halls at the time?
I think so.
And that's why
there were definitely reformed churches that got rid of instruments as well.
Right.
And even singing as well.
Sure.
So
that's right.
That's another podcast.
That's another podcast.
That is another one. But I do think that I think it is key that we recognize, hey, these matters of circumstances, for some odd reason, they become the thing that we debate the most about. The time of the service, how long the sermon needs to be, what type of musical instrument, whether there's going to be music. Musical. Bless your heart. Well, that's what we end up debating about, instead of realizing these are all circumstantial. We don't even need this.
Don't get so excited about it.
Don't get so excited about it. Or was that directed at me?
No. Okay. It might have been, but no, not that general. No, it was a circumstance.
It was a circumstance.
Well, we can get into how we serve communion and the circumstance with that. And that gets,
yeah.
Now you get people exercised about things, and so on. So be careful. A circumstance is a circumstance. The circumstance helps us to meet the principles of worship, the elements of worship. There could be a debate as to whether way back most of our churches that we're familiar with debated the issue as to whether the sermon, uh, the service had to be in German or in English.
Mm-hmm.
That's a circumstance.
That's a circumstance.
That's not an element. And yet that became divisive for the church. And so I think we need to be very, very careful what we do with circumstances and not let them become something other than what they are.
Speaking of language, we have a couple of different translations sitting here on the table.
Yeah.
Translations of the Bible, as some would argue, no, you have to have this one, and we want to have everybody having the same type of Bible. Well, no, they're not going to have the same Bible sitting in the pews. But the point is what translation you use is in some respects, and of course that's debated.
Now, there is an aspect of an element of worship there in terms that it is the faithful Word of God.
It is.
But how we get to that becomes circumstantial.
Whether we're going to be using the New King James, the ESV, the King James. I know we have churches in our own denomination. I knew there was one that used the NIV for some time. I think they might have changed. I know one used the New American Standard. In my judgment, those are circumstantial issues.
Or someday in eternity, we'll all read from the German Bible, but anyway, that's that's the circumstance that counts then. So the Lord will take care of that one.
The Lord will take care of that.
I you talked about the German versus English. I did hear the story when one of my former charges, when they went over to English, they lost some people. And the person's reason when the pastor went to visit him was, everybody knows God speaks German.
Yep.
He was serious.
Absolutely.
So, real quickly, why do you think it is that we sometimes major on those circumstances, that we end up making them into, or try to make them into principles?
That's a good question. Maybe we don't emphasize the elements enough, and therefore the principles, or we're not careful enough to distinguish between principles and application of principles. I think there's kind of a natural, as I'm thinking about this, there's sort of a natural. It reminds me of the idea of the Talmud and so on, where we'd like to have, I mean, as a pastor, I'm sure you've had people ask you all kinds of questions that they consider to be very important, and they're just circumstantial. They're not, but we like to have, instead of making what another professor phrase used, sanctified common sense, which means we follow the scriptures, we apply the Holy Spirit, but we have to make decisions in life. And the Bible does not give us like a handy dandy little thing that we pull out of our pocket every time we have to make a decision and say, this is the right thing or this is not the right thing. We tend to want that, and so we want to zero in on circumstances, because then it's easy to say, well, this is the way it's always been done, so we're going to do it, and that's got to be right, and we don't really think about it.
Well, I think it's also a part of human nature to major in minors, and it becomes distracting. If we're focused on, you know, what type of music is being played, or we're focused on what time of the day, or we're focused on what color the pastor's t-shirt was, then we no longer have to focus on the main thing, which is the gospel being preached. We distract ourselves by all these peripheral matters, where our focus is no longer actually what matters in the worship. We've allowed ourselves to get distracted. And that, to me, I think is you said it earlier, when you in a sense made that point, where we can get distracted by all of these other things instead of, why are we here in the first place? I'm not here because the pastor wears a black suit, a white shirt, and a black tie all the time. That's not why I'm here. I'm glad he's wearing, you know,
I am wondering how you know what color his t-shirt is.
It's white, right? It's not like, it's not, I can't do the off-white stuff. Well, I don't know. White, right?
Well, we're just going to leave it there.
I'll have to continue to wonder about that one.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's better not to know.
It's always been that one color for me my whole life. Y'all might be seeing something different.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. And we hope that you'll come back and listen to some more from the classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. If you want to find previous podcasts, just search for Heidelberg Theological Seminary on Sermon Audio on Facebook. You should find it. Or you can go straight to the webpage, heidelbergseminary.org. You'll find it there. Thanks for listening.